Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 18. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the text. There's an old saying that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. It is true that often our well-intended actions backfire, turn out to be unprofitable for us or for the ones that we are trying to help. However, I disagree with that statement, and I think that really it's just an excuse for people to justify their lack of charitable activity. We are to put ourselves out there at risk for the sake of others and do that which is difficult and challenging. The road to hell is not paved with good intentions. The road to hell is paved with the guilt of our sin. The problem we have in our relationship with God, it's not our actions or lack of actions or actions that backfire. The problem is guilt. In our Old Testament reading, we hear about Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel both brought offerings to the Lord. Why was Abel's offering noticed with regard, as Scripture says? Was it because it was a really big offering? No, it was the firstborn of his flock. Abel gave his best to the Lord. God was not pleased with Cain because Cain just gave his leftovers. Now, they both made offerings, but their intentions were very different. Their attitude toward their offerings to God spoke volumes about their attitude toward God himself. Intentions do matter. In a few minutes, I'm going to have the privilege to participate with these young children of God in the rite of First Communion. And I'm going to ask them a number of questions, one of them being, do you intend to continue to hear and receive the instruction of your Lord, confess your sins, and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully throughout your life? To which they will respond, yes, with the help of God. Do you intend? It's an important question. It is typically our intentions that make the difference in whether we are acting in a manner pleasing to God or not. Now, no matter what we do, we'll never be without sin. Even in your best moments, even when your best works are being done for the good of your neighbor, you are not being perfect. We will always sin and fall short of the glory of God, as Scripture says. We will never do everything and treat everyone with the love, honor, respect, and joy that God's law demands and that he desires. It's like coming to church and participating in the confession of sin and receiving the body and blood of our Lord. Our attitude, our intention in coming here speaks volumes about our relationship with God. There are those for whom coming to God's house is the high point of the week. The whole week just doesn't feel right if we miss church, if we miss out on hearing the gospel, receiving the body and blood of the Son of God. It's like with those in the nursing home that I spoke of last week. how again and again I am told how much they miss this. Coming here is the one thing that typically they desire more than anything else. And what a joy it is that they are able to receive the body and blood when I go and visit them and to hear the gospel. It's the high point of their day, of their week. And then there are those who look at coming here to worship and saying, oh, I better try to make it this week because it's been a while and mom's going to get mad at me if I don't show up today. Saying that or having that as your intentional focus on God speaks volumes about your relationship with God and where he falls in the ranking of priorities. And simply, that's just a dangerous way to live. It is pleasing to God when our actions are fueled with good intentions. And our good intentions are motivated, it comes from the motivation of the Holy Spirit. And the moment we think that our good intentions come from our own good nature and all the goodness we have welling up within us, well, we find ourselves out of bounds right away. And that's what we hear about in our gospel reading with the Pharisee and the tax collector. This Pharisee was a pillar of the community. He was a pillar of the synagogue. He never missed a service. He fasted twice a week, as he was proud to say. He gave 10% of all that he had to the Lord, and he was thankful that he was not a sinner like those other people, especially that tax collector. Here's a man who gave of his first fruits. Why did God not notice his offering with regard? Well, all that he did, his gifts, his role in society, his numerous prayers that he was proud to make, they were all done for the glory of himself. His actions were admirable. Oh, if only everyone acted in the way that he did. But it was his intentions that were the problem. God is able to look into our hearts and see everything. He knows the depth of our sin and guilt. We are poor, miserable sinners who have sinned in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done, by what we have left undone, as we have already confessed here this morning. We have not loved our neighbors the same way that we love ourselves. We are selfish and we are filled with bad intentions. Guilt, iniquity, that's what that word means. Guilt is everywhere in our life. You can't get away from it, except for the fact that in Christ, we have gotten away from it. It has been separated from us. It has been taken from us and placed upon the Son of God and carried to the cross and his grave. That is the joy of the gospel. The road to hell is paved with the guilt of our sin. In Christ, we have been freed from the guilt of our sin. That's what it means to be justified. That's what Jesus was talking about in his parable. Our Father is a God of mercy, grace, love, compassion. And he demonstrates that again and again. And we come here to hear that message again and again. But we also recognize him as a God of justice. And he must be. When God told Adam, if you eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, you will surely die. And when Adam sinned, God demonstrated that his word is absolute and final. God the Father did not speak to Adam like parents tend to do and say, oh, okay, well, the next time that you eat of that tree, you will surely die. And I mean it this time. Your parents ever do that, where they tell you something and you do it, and then they say, oh, well, I mean, the next time, really watch out. God's not that way. There are no do-overs in the world of divine justice. There had to be punishment for sin, because if God's word of judgment has no meaning, has no value, if his statement that you will surely die for your sin, the wages of sin being death, if those words are not sure and final, how could we ever have confidence that his words of life and salvation are sure and final? We come together today thankful that not only are God's words sure and final, but his promise to send his Son was sure and final. And he has paid that price for you. And he loves you. And he says, let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of God. In fact, if anyone will not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he will not enter it. We come before our Lord trusting absolutely that what he says is sure and final. And be thankful that God is not wishy-washy on this issue. Because when he spoke his words of judgment, Adam, you will surely die, and we see the first fruits of that death with the death of Abel, really, this should give us confidence. As I said, if God's word of judgment and death is sure and final, we can be absolutely confident that his words of life, there is no going back on that. And we come before our Lord like the tax collector and say, as a poor, miserable sinner, deserving of judgment, deserving of death, we cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We do this in confidence, knowing that God's word of life is true and sure and final. Christ our Lord has suffered the death we deserve. He has come to take away the guilt of our sin as we stand before our Father in everlasting righteousness. We can lift up our eyes and look upon his friendly face as he has showered his love and grace upon his children. It is said the broad and easy road leads to hell. Jesus says that. However that road is paved, it is of no consequence to us anymore. Our guilt has been taken away. We have been justified in Christ. And our Lord, being full of mercy, grace, justice, love, and compassion, he has placed us on a very different road. We are on the road to salvation, and we keep our eyes fixed on that sure and final promise of the empty grave. Amen.